Only just about everyone, Camden, all my life. And now that I'm allowed to gain a pound or two, I'm losing it because I can't keep food down to save my life. How is the nausea today?
Not horrible, she says.
It calmed down a bit this trimester. It's mostly bad smells that set me off now. Like when I burned the steaks the other night. I wince. Sorry about that.
Well, you were putting a crib together and I fell asleep. I would say that was a joint venture.
She laughs and looks out the passenger window.
It was a good call to go to the beach this weekend. I can't believe there's no snow between Portland and Cannon Beach.
It's been a warm winter, I agree. I'm glad your doctor gave us the go-ahead to travel. She's silent for a long moment, and I glance over to find her biting her bottom lip.
Mia?
What? You did ask the doctor, right?
Well, I called, and I asked the doctor a question, she says. So, when I told you that, it wasn't a lie.
But you didn't ask her if it was safe for you to go out of town for the weekend.
I wanted to come, she says.
The doctor said before that I'm not allowed to fly. This isn't flying. It's only an hour, hour and a half tops. I drive that far to the mall.
No, you don't.
You know what I mean.
Jesus, Mia, what if something happens?
Nothing's going to happen. This has been a perfectly normal pregnancy for twins. I'm just nauseated sometimes, and I've been having Braxton Hicks, but that's not a big deal.
What's a Braxton Hicks?
False labor, she says with a shrug.
What? You've been in labor?
False labor, she says.
It's just contractions that help get your body ready for delivery. It's not real labor. I mean, it hurts like a motherfucker all the same, but I'm not having these babies for a long time yet.
3 weeks, I remind her. You're due in only 3 weeks.
Thank God, she whispers.
I'm ready to meet them. They've been kicking and jumping and playing soccer with my bladder. It's time they came out to say hello.
Well, it would be ideal if they stay where they are until we get home, I reply, and take the exit off Highway 101 that takes us to the surprise I want to show her.
I thought we were staying at that same hotel we found last time.
We do have a reservation there, but I found another place that might be nice. We can just take a look at it first, and if we don't like it, go on to the hotel.
Okay.
I pull into a driveway that leads to a house that was built in the 1920s, but has recently been renovated from top to bottom with all of the most up-to-date conveniences.
A house?
Yes. I get out and walk around to her side, helping her up out of the car. She frowns and rubs her hand over her belly.
What's wrong?
Nothing, she says and takes a long, deep breath.
The Braxton Hicks usually happen when I stand up. I'm okay.
She smiles up at me and I lead her to the front door where the realtor is waiting.
Oh, would we be renting this from you?
Mia asks, offering her hand to shake.
I'm going to let Camden explain everything to you,
Fiona, the realtor, replies.
Go ahead and look around. I'll be waiting out here.
Thank you, I reply, and lead Mia inside.
I've only seen the place online. Let's wander through and see what you think.
Well, it's beautiful, she says. I love these high ceilings, and the crown molding looks like it's original.
I believe it is.
She nods and wanders through to the kitchen where she stops and stares through the windows.
Oh, Camden.
What's wrong?
Nothing. Look at this view.
I walk up behind her and wrap my arms around her, resting my hands on her belly.
Do you like it?
I whisper.
We're literally above the water. Of course I like it. The trek down to the sand might be harder for me this time, but I'm happy to stay up here and watch the storms come in and out.
She turns and smiles up at me.
Thank you.
Well, there's more to say, and more to see. I lead her through the living area and up the stairs to show her three bedrooms, each with its own bathroom, another living space, and the master bedroom with a balcony that faces the water.
Never mind, I'll just sit up here all weekend, she says with a smile.
Do you like it?
What's not to like?
If you love it, it's yours. Her eyes go wide and she stares up at me for a moment before frowning.
What?
It's yours. The paperwork is ready for me to sign. I've been looking for the perfect place since the last time we were here.
You are the most alive when you're on this beach, and I wanted to give it to you.
Wow, this is the best push present ever.
Excuse me?
Oh, she waves me off.
A push present is a thing that men get the mother for having the baby. This one is impressive.
I didn't even know that was a thing.
She smiles.
Are you serious? Because punking me like this when I'm 47 months pregnant with twins is not okay.
I'm totally serious. I'm prepared to pay cash for it today, as long as it's what you want. I've had inspections done along with appraisals. It's a go if you are.
I'm in, she says and tips her head up for a kiss.
Thank you so much. This is incredible.
You're incredible, I reply, and walk with her back to the kitchen.
I figured you'd want to replace the stovetop and fridge with something more commercial grade.
Eventually, she says, nodding. But this will all work great for now.
She suddenly holds on to the countertop, doubling over.
Holy shit.
What is it?
These stupid fake contractions are ridiculous.
Mia, that doesn't sound right.
I'm fine,
she says, holding her hand up and breathing through the pain. But then suddenly there's a splash.
Fuck, my water broke.
Come on, I reply grimly. We're going to the hospital. Fake labor my ass. 4 hours. That's how long it took from the time we got Mia to the hospital in nearby Seaside, Oregon, until the moment our daughter was born, and then our son, just 6 minutes later. I wasn't sure if I'd survive it. I've never seen a human being go through that much pain before and live to tell about it. I thought I respected her before, but now I'm just in awe of her.
How is he?
Mia asks. She's holding our daughter, Elizabeth, and I'm holding Ethan. We weren't expecting them to come so soon, so we didn't have Mia's hospital suitcase in the car with us, but the hospital has happily loaned us all of the blankets and supplies we need until ours arrive.
He's gorgeous,
I reply with a grin, and sit on the bed at her hip so we can both see them.
They're so tiny.
Not too tiny, though, she says.
At almost 7 pounds each, that's a lot of baby to come out of my body today.
I'm so fucking proud of you, I whisper, and smile down at her. Seriously, you were a goddamn rock star today.
I was so pissed when we got here and they said I was too far into it to get the epidural, she replies. And I'm mad at myself for being impatient and pouting. Maybe we shouldn't have come. I wish my doctor could have delivered them.
Hey, the most important thing right now is that all three of you are safe and healthy, whether you delivered in Portland or Chicago.
I wasn't allowed to fly. Chicago was out.
You're a smartass.
Oh, yeah, a complete smartass.
You're marrying me now, I say, and earn a scowl from her. That was the deal. We had to wait until the babies were born.
You didn't even ask, she says.
Don't think that you can just start demanding things. You said you didn't want the proposal and that you would marry me after they came.
No, I... Where are my grandchildren?
Mia's mother asks as she and her husband walk into the room. Before we know it, both babies are scooped up by them and they're cooing over them.
Oh, what a sweetheart,
Mia's dad says. He glances up at me.
She has your nose.
Poor kid, I reply with a grin. Is everyone else here?
Most are, he replies. You should go out and say hello. They're only allowing 3 people back here at a time.
Do you mind if I go out so Landon can come in? I ask Mia, who smiles happily.
Sure. It was kind of nice having a few moments alone with our little family, but I'm excited for everyone to meet them.
I love you, I reply and kiss her gently. And I'll be back soon.
I love you too.
You're totally marrying me.
Go get my brother.
Elizabeth is sleeping, but Ethan decided he wanted some company at 3 o'clock in the morning, so here I sit, rocking him in the dark in the nursery.
Were you lonely?
I whisper. He's sleepy, but I know if I put him down, he'll cry again, and I'd rather he didn't wake Lizzie. Mia needs her sleep.
You've always been the one who wants to be held.
Ethan grins up at me.
I know. You're a social guy, but at 2 months old, it would be awesome if you'd sleep through the night.
He just grins and bites on his fist. I honestly don't mind getting up with them.
I know these days won't last long. I'm letting your mama sleep tonight, I tell him, careful to keep my voice quiet. She finally married me today, you know. She's so stubborn. I think you get that from her. I waited a long time for her, and we waited a long time for you and your sister. I think that we were always supposed to be a family. The timing just wasn't right yet. But here you are, and I just couldn't love you any more than I do. I kiss his forehead, and he yawns, so I place him on my shoulder and rub his back the way he likes. You should go back to sleep. My own eyelids are heavy from lack of sleep. I really don't know what we would have done over the past 2 months without our family's help and our awesome friends. The first 2 weeks were overwhelming and scary, but we figured out an eating and sleeping routine, and I think we're going to hire a nanny soon. Mia is a wonderful mother. She knows that although the babies are her world, she also loves to cook. That's another important part of her life, and she wants to go back to the restaurant part-time to start. I think it's imperative that she does what feeds her soul. Ethan is softly snoring in my ear now, and I lay him back in his crib and pause, making sure he doesn't wake back up. When it seems safe, I tiptoe out of the nursery and next door to our bedroom, where Mia is sitting up in bed. I thought you were sleeping, I say, and slide in next to her, pulling her into my arms. Are you okay? I'm great, she says. I woke up too, and I was just listening in case Lizzie decided to join your little party. She's sleeping like a champ, I reply. How do you feel? She says and slides her naked leg up along mine. The babies are asleep and we're awake. This is true. Her hand glides down my chest and over my stomach, then wraps around my very hard cock. I thought I was too tired for this, I murmur and push her onto her back. But you're so fucking beautiful in the moonlight. I'm sorry we don't do this enough, she says, but I press my fingertip over her lips. We'll get back to that place, I assure her. We're figuring all of this out, and that's okay. I'm going to enjoy you every moment that I can, and that doesn't always have to include sex. But it's so nice when it does, she says with a smile, and tips her head back when I slide my hand down her belly to her core. She's already wet and ready for me, but I want to take my time. I kiss down her torso, spending extra time licking and sucking on each nipple. Her breasts are slightly bigger than before, fitting perfectly into my palms. I worry her nipples with my thumbs as I kiss down her belly, around her navel, and farther still. Her clit is hard against my lips. Bite it, she whispers, making me grin. She's such a biter. I oblige her, scraping my teeth over it, then gently biting it. She makes a strangled noise, trying to be quiet, and I climb up to cover her mouth with mine. I pin her hands above her head and she cradles me against her, urging me to grind my dick against her core. Finally, unable to hold back any longer, I rear back and press the head of my cock inside of her and sink slowly down until I'm buried balls deep. So good. I whisper against her wet lips. Always so fucking good. I rock against her, rubbing my pubis against her clit, and she gasps, bears down, and comes hard, her pussy contracting around me. She's got a fucking vice grip on me, and I can't stop myself from following her over the edge. Once I've caught my breath, I pull her against me and kiss her forehead. You are the best part of this life, Mia. It's a good life, she agrees with a yawn. It's a very good life.
Epilogue. 5 years later. Mia. I hate that we only do our Sunday brunches once a month now. Kat says with a frown and sips on her strawberry mimosa. At least we find time to do them at all, Cammy reminds her. I think this is the first time in more than 7 years that none of us is pregnant, therefore making it possible for all of us to drink. Are we done having babies? I ask, looking at Kat, who just had a brand new baby boy 2 months ago. Do you and Mac want more? No, she says, shaking her fiery red head. I could give you all kinds of statistics about how many children you should have, and it would be incredibly boring. Let's just say that I'm happy with the one. I'm done. I reply with a nod, Three is plenty. I didn't think I'd have more after the twins, who I'm convinced are evil, by the way. But then we got another surprise and had Emily. I hope you all did something to prevent more surprise babies, Cammy says. He did, I reply with a wink. No need to worry anymore. Five's my limit, Addie says with a grin.
You're a baby machine, Riley says. And before you ask, no. Trevor and I are holding it too. One of each, that's perfect for us.
We are lucky to have the one we do have, Cammy says with a wistful smile. We may think about adoption later, but for now, Landon and I are happy with it just being the three of us. Why are the twins evil?
They speak in tongues, I reply as I butter a piece of toast. That can't be normal.
I've heard that some twins make up their own language, Kat says. That's fascinating.
They stare at me while they speak to each other in a language I don't understand.
Okay, that's creepy, Addie says. But they're so damn cute.
And they have us all wrapped around their little fingers, I agree. If we could get them to start speaking English, we'd be golden.
What does Camden think?
He laughs it off. Camden is so laid back, very little riles him up, which is good because he's married to me. And I'm not exactly the definition of laid back.
True, Addie says, earning a glare from me. She smiles angelically. How did things go in New York last week?
Actually, not horrible. In the past few years, we've expanded the seduction restaurants all over the United States, with Europe on the horizon. There are currently 8 locations, with the most recent being New York. The location is amazing, right down in Times Square. The chefs are great, of course. I mean, we're a successful, niche restaurant. Who doesn't want to work for us?
That one guy in London wasn't excited about it, Addie reminds me, but I blow that off.
His loss. We'll find someone else for London.
I can't even believe we're expanding to Europe, Cammy says, shaking her head. Remember where we started? We wanted our one tiny location in Portland to not bankrupt us.
And now here we are, 7 years later, with a $1 billion business. Riley raises her glass in a toast. We're pretty fucking amazing, ladies.
Hear, hear, I reply and clink my glass to hers.
But at the end of the day, Kat reminds us, not only do we have a successful business, but we've managed to stay friends, too. And that's rare, you guys. I love you, each of you. That's more important than the restaurants, the money, any of it.
Of course, I add as the others nod. As long as we have each other, there's not anything we can't do.
Including Europe, Addie says with a grin.
They won't know what hit them.
We hope that you've enjoyed this production of Savor You, a Fusion novel by Kristen Proby. Performed by Sebastian York and Abby Craden. Produced by Elgin Productions. Executive Producer Caitlin Gehring. Text copyright 2018 by Kristen Proby. Production copyright 2018 by HarperCollins Publishers. All rights reserved. Thank you for listening.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.